so crazy how the depth perception makes it like huge.
Right? Mm-hmm. Hey guys.
Hello, podcast world. How is everybody doing today? I'm doing great. How about you, Adam?
I'm doing good, but I think you could have used a little bit better with your intro music like last time.
Oh. Can somebody please make us an intro jingle, please? Like, you talented musicians out there, please. We need it so badly.
That's what we got. That was your second best. We've only done two, so there you go.
Yeah, guys, I am here with Adam. We just did freaking stairs today at Santa Monica, which if you guys ever visit the SoCal area, I highly recommend the Santa Monica stairs because they are so, like, I don't know how to explain it. They're very steep, and then the wooden ones aren't as steep, but it's wider. And I do like the little loopies, so, you know, I think you guys should definitely check it out if you're ever in SoCal. But yeah,
that could be a whole other podcast, like locations, fitness locations.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool, yeah. I don't know. I think that the Denver Red Rocks is still a better location.
You know what? It's a pretty cool thing. You know, like, I live there, so I kind of like take it for granted, but it really is cool to like see hundreds of people doing the stairs every day, you know, so it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So if you're ever in Colorado, come out, Contest Prep Center, come out, and that's free, and come out to the Red Rocks. It's like a destination hotspot.
And the altitude training really does well.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal, So today we got an interesting topic, and it's so relevant too. Mm-hmm. It like just kind of happened.
Yeah.
But if you are listening to this, it is likely Thursday, which means that me and Ashley are at the Olympia. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be a peak week podcast. Peak weeks, a lot of times it's weeks. And so we're going to kind of give you some insight to what happens. And what did you call it? A peak?
Sneak peek into peak week.
Sneak peek into peak week.
Yes. And I'm fresh out the shower, by the way, guys. I'm just, hair's still dripping wet. But I'm feeling good after this freaking workout. Yeah. I'm ready for this peak week. Adam, I'm so excited. Yeah. I think it's like such an exciting time. And you know something? It's like, you don't realize how like close it is until like the last minute. So it's almost like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it's actually here, peak week.
Yeah,
what?
It's crazy. Today's, it's like right now, it's like today's actually Saturday. So when we're recording this, which means that she'll be on stage at this point. Would you have already gotten off stage? What time is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. It's like 12 o'clock. So
no, because
today's Saturday, right?
Yes, but I compete in 1 week. So we'll be posting this before.
Oh, no, what I'm saying is at this time in a week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So I would have already done prejudging. So I will kind of know how things go.
Yeah, it's crazy. Idea. So let's go ahead and dive into. So what we're going to do today is like kind of dive into some like peak week. I think you go into peak like week. Myths and peak week, like what some of the top people actually do, you know, and I will say that's all over the place with different people. But we can kind of go into what I believe is the best and what Ashley believes works for her.
Real life, bro.
Yeah.
Peak week.
This will tell you exactly what she's doing, you know, for peak week. So maybe you can apply it to yours. So so I guess let's go ahead and start off with what are your thoughts on peak week and what do you try to accomplish during that week?
So how I'm feeling right now is I am feeling almost ready to go. Got to tighten a little bit in the glute section, you know. If you guys listened to our podcast last time, you might know that, you know, the glutes, the hamstring glutine is like not my leanest area. It's kind of hard for me to get lean in that area. So we've got a little bit of time to tighten up. And mentally, I'm like shocked that it's here already. And I'm just feeling, I don't know, like, wow, this is the home stretch, you know? Yeah. I'm almost there. And you know what's funny about peak week is like, I almost kind of like lose my appetite during peak week a lot. I figured that out. Cause it's like, I'm so distracted and like almost anxious or nervous that I'm not even thinking about food, which makes it really nice because we're kind of cutting some stuff out during peak week. Like artificial sweeteners, for example.
Yeah.
I get asked a lot like what my peak week is like, and they ask, oh, do you still drink diet root beer during peak week? Because that's my favorite beverage in the world, by the way. Diet A&W root beer.
Me too. You got me hooked on that.
Yes, so you got me hooked on that. Right?
You heard that story? So here's the thing about Diet A&W root beer. Make sure you get Diet A&W root beer because they all look the same.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, because Hugo.
Yes. Oh, I'll give you guys that story real quick. Oh my gosh. I had a mental breakdown like a year ago because I was prepping for a show and I was trying so hard, you know, to tighten up and to get lean. And my boyfriend went to go get some Diet A&W root beer at the grocery store because he was there. And I was like, yeah, get Diet root beer. So he brings it home. I pop it open. I start drinking it. And, you know, gosh, I was like thirsty. So I drank like one third of it, I want to say. And then I realized after I drank it, I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This isn't diet because the labeling looks so similar.
It looks exactly the same. Yeah.
You know, I think with like Diet Coke and stuff, it's like clearly, you know, there's and a silver, difference. Yeah. But man, I couldn't even tell. I could not tell the difference. And it tasted, I mean, Diet A&W root beer is so good that it doesn't even taste diet. You know what I mean?
I want a Diet A&W sponsorship after this talk.
Yes. Hit us up, please. Like, we need a lifetime supply.
We're the worst. We drink so much of that stuff.
Yes. So after I realized I drank one third of this A&W root beer, I just had a mental breakdown. And I think I screamed so loud. And I was so pissed at my boyfriend for getting the regular. Yeah. If you guys don't know, I mean, that's pure sugar. And, it's like, dang it, if I was going to have that much sugar, I might as well have a cheat meal, like at least enjoy like a piece of cake or something. Oh my God, I was so mad.
That's so funny.
And now, you know, I'm paranoid about like.
So I test, actually, it's funny thing is that we go to restaurants all the time or whatever, we go out anywhere. I don't even ask her anymore. She'll order a Diet Coke and I just grab it from her because I know I'm going to have to test it to make sure it's diet.
Yes. Because I can't taste the difference.
It has to pass the taste test.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
I'm too paranoid about that. But yeah. But that's the story about Diet A&W, so
it's good stuff. Normal prep story, right?
Yeah.
But anyway, back into like artificial sweeteners, right?
Back into sweeteners, yes. So it's not till about a week out I'll cut those things. And, you know, why don't you go into why we cut out the artificial sweeteners?
Yeah, so here's the thing about peak week. And here's the thing where like there's a lot of strictly scientist guys out there, and then there's like strictly meathead guys out there, right? And there's like the bro way is the way to do it. Just train hard, just do it hard, and whatever happens type of thing. And you just got to outwork everything. And then there's the science guys who are like, well, this is the reason for this, and it has to be a reason, whatever. But what people don't understand is there's some things that are in between. Some things the bros get right, and some things the science guys get right. And the one thing is, You rarely or never see like a pure scientist training people at the top level. Like, I don't know of any that are like pure scientists like training at the top level. And I don't know any pure like meatheads like training at the top level either. It's always a good mixture of both. So I think that's what's important. There's this like line drawn in the sand between those two guys. Mm-hmm. And I don't think there should be a line drawn in the sand. I think there's some things that bodybuilders that are just using like, I guess, bro science will figure out before the science because there has to be a study done for a science guy to figure it out. So mm-hmm. sometimes it just works. So a lot of these things, they're theories and they're not actual like proven things. So the theory with artificial sweeteners is the body doesn't know what to do with them. It's foreign to the body. And anytime something is foreign to the body kind of considers it like a toxin or something. You know, it's not normal. So it'll attach water to it to drive it out of the system. That's the theory. So when it has water attached to it, it helps you basically bloat you a little bit, especially internally in the intestinal tract. It causes some intestinal distress, which is going to make the waistline bigger.
Is that because probiotics cannot thrive in like an environment that has artificial sweeteners?
That's one of the things that says. Yeah, actually, mm-hmm. that's one of the things that they've theorized is that when you're drinking artificial sweeteners, it actually like lowers the quality of your probiotics, kind of like hurts them a little bit, of your not probiotics, but of your intestinal tract, intestinal bacteria.
Your bacteria, yeah. Good bacteria.
Yeah, so
it kind of kills them off and makes it hard for them to grow.
That's the theory. You know, uh-huh. I've read a little bit about that. And so, you know, I've read enough about it where I'm like, you know what, even if it doesn't do anything, might as well just do it. And that's what a lot of this prep stuff is, especially towards the end. I always say I'm a pretty friendly dieter for contest prep, and I give mm-hmm. people a lot of options in their meal plan. But one of the things that towards the end, I like to clean it up just in case, because what if the artificial sweeteners did something, and what if they did nothing at all? Like, what's the worst case scenario? You cleaned out artificial sweeteners out of your body for a week. Like, and it's probably healthy for you to do that anyway. Mm-hmm. So why is that a bad thing if we did it unnecessarily, right?
Right.
And so same thing with like other foods too. When we clean up these other foods, we clean up, like colored waters, and we clean up all these other things, because it probably does nothing, maybe, you know, but what if it does 1%, you know?
Yes.
And what if we do 10 different things that are 1%? Mm-hmm. Well, now you're 10% better, right?
Right.
So that's kind of like the approach with Peak Week, is just kind of clean it up to try to get the waistline small. And it's really like a, I don't know if you want to call it like a, I hate saying the word even cleanse, but like cleaning your body of like all these things just mm-hmm. in case, to help your body out, be its best on that week, you know? So mm-hmm. that's kind of the theory behind artificial sweeteners. Will that ever be proven to be the case? I don't think that's even possible for it to be.
Yeah.
Like, well, you know, it's just such a hard thing to figure out, you know, mm-hmm. so I don't know. And that's just how prep is towards the end. So, mm-hmm.
you know, I think it's very interesting that there's so many different, I guess, approaches to artificial sweeteners. Some coaches are totally against it at any point. Yeah. Some are just like, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter. And you're right there in the middle, which is good. I don't know why artificial sweeteners became so controversial, but they are. And it's like funny, because even if you post something like, oh yeah, I'm drinking my diet A&W, I'll get like a message like, you know, that's bad for you, it causes cancer, you know, stuff like that. And I think, you know, everything in moderation, but you know, I think some of the testing that was done on artificial sweeteners isn't really
conclusive.
I think they did it on rats,
crazy.
Right?
Crazy. The tests on that stuff is so bad.
Yeah, like, didn't they do it on rats?
Yeah, it's like either rats or mice.
They pumped them with like so much artificial sweetener that it'd be
not
like gallons.
Possible.
It'd be gallons upon gallons of.
They
it
did the same. Yeah, they did. I hate when they do studies like that, because it's not relevant.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It doesn't make any sense.
Like, exactly.
You could take. I mean, you could do. I mean, if you pumped a human full of protein, that much protein, it'd be bad for them. You know, so
exactly,
like you could, pretty much, you could pop a human full of that much water, and it'd be bad for them. You know, mm-hmm. so like. Yeah, of course, it's bad for you at a certain point. So the studies are kind of, that I've seen at least, aren't really relevant to mm-hmm. If they're a carcinogen or not. And as far as it looks at this point, it's not really that bad for you in terms of, you know, in moderation. We're drinking, when we say a lot, you know, maybe 3 cans a day or something mm-hmm. like that. And it's just not enough, at least based on the studies, to do anything. Or else, I think at this point, Diet Coke's been around long enough where mm-hmm. you'd see a mass amount of people like, all of a sudden, you know, because it's been around 30 plus years.
Yeah.
You'd see a mass amount of people like
there's conspiracy theories out there on artificial sweeteners. Yeah. Just look it up. There's literally conspiracy theories. Yeah. I'm like, whoa, holy moly.
What I will say to you guys about artificial sweeteners though too, and this is like a public service announcement, right?
PSA.
We should even need a PSA announcement. We need a sound effect for that. PSA. I don't think we have one for that. But when you guys are out like at Starbucks and all these coffee shops and you see these artificial sweeteners and these sweet sugar packets, I see a lot of competitors especially that will like pump their drinks full of artificial sweeteners. You know, it's very common to do like 4 packets in like an iced coffee. Just so you know, those packets are not calorie free. They are
mixed with maltodextrin.
Maltodextrin, sucralose.
Which is a carb.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's basically a pure sugar with a different label name on it. So, mm-hmm. And this is a crazy story why this is too. Do you know the reason for that?
Yes, I do. Because if it was the pure extract powder of it, it would be so minuscule, like such a small little amount that you'd open up the little pack and be like, where is it? And it's kind of like, I don't know, I guess to your mind, it isn't very, it doesn't make sense. Do you know what I mean? But it's funny because in Europe, they actually have these little packets that are tablets.
Yeah.
And they are the pure extract form.
Yeah,
and
they
just put the littlest tiny thing in there.
The UK is really ahead on that stuff. It's mm-hmm. really cool. Actually, do you know that? So the UK has now where there's like a little jar of mm-hmm. them and you can just like pluck them out.
Oh,
a little. You can pluck them out and put
cute.
It in. Yeah, it's
pluck
cute, right? And then, but on top of that, if you, like, so out here in the United States, you get unlimited refills on drinks almost everywhere.
Uh-huh.
But in the UK, if you, or maybe it's all of Europe, I know in the UK for sure, if you go to get a refill on a drink, mm-hmm. it's free if it's Diet Coke, but they charge you if it's, they call it a sugar tax.
Oh.
So they're trying to keep the population more aware of not drinking so much sugar and
That's
be healthier.
Smart, though.
You know,
yeah.
Well, it's a whole healthcare system, right? Because it's over there. There's no cost to it. So, but it costs the government a lot of money if you're having diabetes or if you're overweight and things like that. And and so they're trying to cause a sugar tax because they know in the end it's going to cost them more if you're drinking this stuff excessively. Isn't that crazy? But it's smart. It's creating awareness. I wish that, you know, the United States would get on that, but you know, because we don't have an internal healthcare system for the most part. That's probably why.
True.
But so just so you guys know, that's the reason for it. They some marketing guy said, hey, these sugar packets with artificial sweetener is different than sugar and people won't get that. So we're just gonna put sugar, lower calorie, lower dense sugar in it and then mix it with the stevia or aspartame or whatever. So you feel like you're getting the same thing. But in doing so, the average amount of sugar in one of those packets is about 2 carbs, about 2 grams of sugar. Mm-hmm. So if someone's throwing 4 or 5 of those in their drink, which is really common, 3 to 5 is common mm-hmm. in like a large drink. That's 10 carbs of pure sugar
yeah.
in the prep diet, you know, mm-hmm. which is, and people are doing that 2 times, 3 times a day. Now you're eating 20, 30 extra carbs, whatever, throughout the whole day with all your foods. And you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't even know that. So the solution is
you go on Amazon and you buy that extract powder
yeah.
for super cheap and you get a lot and it lasts yeah. a long time.
Yeah.
They do have like some liquid stevia, which is great. Just make sure it's not mixed with, I think it's like, what is it, glycerin? Yes.
Yeah.
Some of the stevia sure. in liquid form is mixed with glycerin. So don't get it if it is, because then it is a little bit of a carb, yeah?
Yeah.
Glycerin? Mm-hmm. So just try to find like the pure form of it, you know, of stevia, powdered or liquid.
Yeah, just get the pure stevia. It looks like when you look at it, it looks expensive because it'll be like $20 for a bag like this, but that bag will literally last you like over a year.
You need like the smallest little yeah. sprinkle. Like you can't find the pure in packet form.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It's too small, too yeah. little amount. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I use in my morning coffee, I'll use like 1/8 of a teaspoon. That's how, yeah. that's how strong it is. I get a little quarter teaspoon thing and I put mm-hmm. half of it in the little quarter and it's yeah. like super sweet. So yeah. So that's a good tip for you guys to save you some calories.
Saving you calories and saving you money.
There you go. So we cut out artificial sweeteners in the peak week.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go into like all the things that people do during peak week. I think we should go with that first.
Yeah. Right? So gosh, there's some crazy methods out there. I've yeah. heard of people like overloading with water and then taking back the water and yeah. then eating a burger on show day or some crazy combo like that. Again, we're taking some risks when we do that because yeah. we don't exactly know how our body's going to end up. Our approach is kind of get stage lean ahead of time, get ready ahead of time, and that way there's less of risk that anything's going to happen.
Yeah.
And we don't have to try anything crazy because that usually does more harm than good.
Yeah, honestly, you hear about it happening more often that peak weeks go wrong for people than when it goes right. You know, you hear about it all the time. And the only person who ever says that peak week went right for them really is the person who wins. They're like, oh, it went perfect. But everyone else who got like second, they're always like, oh, it was my peak week.
Yeah.
Well, why even take that risk, you know? It just doesn't make sense, you know? Like, you work so hard and then you're going to put all of your eggs into one basket that peak week's going to give you this result at the end in 5-6 days, whatever, that's mm-hmm. going to be dramatically different. You're going to make all these improvements. And I've heard some crazy things like water loading, like she was talking about. And then there's also sodium loading. So when you start doing all these different things and having all these variables, so the sodium loading thing is to basically manipulate this hormone called aldosterone. So you're kind of like, the aldosterone hormone is basically one that has you, it regulates like your water retention when you have excessive amounts of sodium. And then when you cut your sodium, supposedly you'll be tighter. But the reality is if you're lean, that stuff doesn't matter. Like having taking all these variables into account, water loading, having sodium, taking diuretics, like all these different things, and then carb loading like crazy, it's so unpredictable to get that result mm-hmm. because it would take such a brain and like testing to actually manipulate all those things perfectly mm-hmm. to nail it exactly at 12 o'clock on Saturday. Like it's yeah. just so hard. Because then there's gonna be some, like anytime you do something that's extreme and the body looks a certain way, there's gonna be a mm-hmm. rebound to that. So now
yes.
now we have to guarantee that that effect's gonna last for 10 hours or whatever till you get uh-huh. on stage again too. It's yeah. just not possible. It's just really, really unpredictable. And the goal should always be to just get on stage as close to, like get ready as close to stage lean as you should be uh-huh. and do very little manipulation. That way you can predict the result. How you look on Saturday is just slightly better than how you looked on Monday when you started that week. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yes, that is some good tips, guys. It doesn't have to be miserable. Like, peak week doesn't have to be the most miserable week. In fact, I think for me, it's pretty enjoyable because it'll get pretty relaxing the last yeah. few days when I don't have to really train or train that hard. Because Coach Adam here, we kind of figured out for me personally that if I cut back my workouts towards the end of peak week before my show, my body like responds really well because it like kind of shrinks. Because yeah. I might have been having some inflammation just from some intense workouts. If you think about it, it makes sense. You know, you yeah. work out hard, your body swells up a little bit, trying to recover these muscles and everything. And then it's like, oh, you know, you think you're, I guess, holding on to water or you're not as lean as you think you are. But if you let that inflammation go down, you might be surprised to see like, wow, I haven't trained in 3 days, but I look even better.
Yeah. And it's basically, yeah, it's basically what we do for Ashley now at that point. So like, for example, on Thursday before the Saturday show, she'll do like 15 minutes of steady state cardio.
Mm-hmm. Just the day to keep the blood yep. pumping.
The day before that, she'll do like 20. And the day before that, I'll be like 25. And the day before that, I'll be like 30, something, mm-hmm. something along those lines. And that's it. You know, she's already in shape. We shouldn't have to go through all this crazy stuff to get her in shape now. You should be clearly in shape at this yes. point. And so, it's just very little manipulation. We, you know, we'll look day by day and load a little bit of carbs, nothing crazy to, you know, mm-hmm. and one of the things with Ashley too, is yeah. she's so muscular that we don't bring her in 100% full, which mm-hmm. is, which
like
is,
I can be flat and it's okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, and some girls is like that, and some girls it doesn't work that good like that. You know, mm-hmm. I've had it happen both ways. So, I think the thing with Ashley too is that she's willing to try different things, and I think we're on the same page with that. Mm-hmm. Is just try a little bit different until we can get like and see if we can get a little better, a little better. And if it goes wrong, then it goes wrong. But you have to be willing to kind of go for that, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's never so crazy where we couldn't figure out what went wrong though.
Yeah,
that's the mm-hmm. thing. Yeah,
I think one of the also the advantages of like. Doing a little bit of a carb up, maybe, well, you'll see me throughout the week and kind of determine when I should start carbing up. But one of the advantages, guys, of, I guess, using carbs is like, if you think about it, they're most of the time a lot easier to digest. And if we're trying to get that smallest little waste as possible on stage, we don't want to be like, oh yeah, huge meals of chicken and vegetables and steak, and it kind of like is hard to digest sometimes. So the great thing about carbs, like rice cakes for example, very easy to digest, don't take up a lot of room, and you won't feel like bloated. So
yeah, food volume towards the end, you know, that's the one time we'll say, okay, yeah, don't eat crazy vegetables that week, yeah. like the last few days before the show. And just trying to keep the volume of the food down just to make sure it's all digested and out of the system so we can get a flatter stomach. Mm-hmm. I think that's important to do too. And then, you know, if you want to go really crazy with it, one of the things you can do that Ashley did is we took a food sensitivity test, which we talked
yes,
about.
Yes, at the Contest Prep Center.
We did. And with that, we eliminate those foods at the end. And when we eliminate those foods at the end, obviously those are the foods that cause our sensitivities. And it's going to make her, you know, her waistline a little bit smaller too.
Right.
And so.
And actually, if you want to see more about the food sensitivity, I have it on my YouTube channel. I don't
do
know
you?
If you do.
Okay.
Yeah, I have it posted on my YouTube channel that I took a food sensitivity test if you want to look it up and see more into it. But yeah, it does help, I notice. I can really tell the difference when I take certain foods out. And just to clarify, guys, food sensitivity is not a food allergy. I don't break out in hives or anything. It's just like, oh, something that might cause a little inflammation, or maybe my body doesn't like digest it as well as other foods. So by taking those out and eliminating them, you might be surprised to find like, wow, things are just moving and I'm nice and, you know, lean and no inflammation or anything.
Yeah,
so.
And that's when we've been able to get your waist down below 22 inches was mm-hmm. at the end there
yeah.
with all those things removed. So that's been kind of cool to see like the progress of that, you know.
Yes.
Because we started off at 23 when you're in contest shape mm-hmm. and now it's down to a little less than 22.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool. So a lot of these little things make differences, but I don't think, here's one of the things that I've always thought was kind of weird too, the whole burger and fries thing.
Oh yeah.
You know,
wow, that is so common.
It's really common. And to me, it doesn't make sense. I don't see how it would make sense because I've always thought about that. I was like, why would you do that? Like you eat perfectly clean.
Yeah.
Like for the most part, those are the coaches telling people to do burger and fries are the same coaches that have people like eating tilapia and asparagus only the last like month, right?
Yeah.
And so they do this like perfectly clean diet with no gluten, no wheat, no like anything, no flours, mm-hmm. like anything that might cause you sensitivity. And then they're like, okay, diet was going perfectly. You look great. Now the day before the show, hours before the show, we're going to eat a food that you haven't eaten for months and just expect that to go better. Or when they do it after prejudging too, that's a weird thing too. Cause I'm like, oh, it's going to tighten them up and make them fill out. And I'm like, wait a minute. So why are you doing that after prejudging? Because if it mattered so much, why would you not do it when the judging happened?
Yeah.
If it was like the game changer for everything. Mm-hmm. Right. So I don't know. It just never, I don't think anyone really thinks about that, because that could go, one, you're eating a lot more sodium than you have been eating because of the fries. So that can go one of two ways, you know. Mm-hmm. You're eating red meat, which is dense, is going to take longer to digest and sit in your stomach longer.
Yeah.
And then two, you're eating bread that has gluten in it, which is most likely going to cause you a little bit of intestinal distress.
Mm-hmm.
For most people, to some, even a minor intolerance will cause a little bit of intestinal distress. And most people have some minor sensitivity to gluten. So to me, like, doing that before the show when you're in your most sensitive state,
mm-hmm.
I just never understood it. You know, if you can get the same result with
really
clean
risky
stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe after prejudging, when maybe somebody's thought process is like, well, you know, the hard part's over, like, it's basically judged and blah, blah, blah. But I guess it only, gosh, I wouldn't risk it. Even if it was all the judging's done and prejudging, even if that's the case, I still wouldn't risk it. Like, you know, because you can lose that so easily, your placement or, you know.
And there's always the chance of a live rejudge.
Yes, that has happened before.
Yeah, mm-hmm, it happens, yeah. You know, every once in a while. So
that is, in bikini, usually they most of the time will just do all the judging and prejudging, but it's different for different divisions. So we shouldn't say that in general, but in bikini, usually it's mostly done in prejudging, but it can be rejudged and there could be a change during finals. I would be so mad at myself.
Yeah.
You know, if I lost a placement because of a burger and fries, like, I couldn't just wait 5 hours, you know?
I would say, so I'm mainly in Colorado at the shows. That's like where I'm at. Like, I'm all over, but I'm in Colorado. I'm at like 10 shows a year. And I will say at least 2 to 3 shows a year, there's a live rejudge on the classes because some girl got entered in the wrong class or something.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then they're like, you know, she's like, hey, I measured at 5 foot, which I should be A class, but for some reason you guys had me in G class. And then they're like, oh, we'd have to rejudge her class, mm-hmm. but that's only fair to her because it wasn't her fault, you know?
Yeah.
And so then they'll rejudge the class or something because these things uh-huh. happen, you know? So that, just be prepared for that. And if you win your class, or if it looks like you're doing good, then you have to go for the overall and they have to judge mm-hmm. you again anyway. So, like, for me, it just makes sense. Hey, it's a few more hours. Just stay clean. Like, just do something that's predictable.
Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. And so what do we, let's go into one of the things that's probably, like, the most, I guess, I don't even want to say controversial, probably the most, like, dangerous thing is, like, the whole water cutting thing.
Oh, gosh. I don't know how people do that. Man, like, people be all dry and thirsty. Their lips are all cracked and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they've been in the desert for 3 days or something.
Yeah.
Like, why?
It's a pretty miserable day, too. You have, like, because you're just back there for hours. So, like, being dehydrated, having, like, dehydration headaches and whatnot, too. Mm. Like, it's pretty brutal. So, here's the thing. Like, I think that the marketing of diuretics have mm-hmm. been really good.
Yeah.
And that's what caused a lot of these, like, athletes to think that it makes a big difference. Because mm-hmm. what happens is you'll see, I've actually seen them, I don't know if they exist anymore because, like, there's more information out. But when I was growing up, I guess, and I worked in nutrition stores, which was, like, 20 years ago, they had, like, ads of, like, skin. And then there'd be, like, blue, like, water.
Yeah.
And then, like, muscle under that. And then they'd show a picture next to it with, like, skin and then just muscle under
the
water.
Oh, my gosh.
There's a stream of water, like, flowing through your body like a river.
That's so funny.
Like, that's, like, hiding your muscle, right? So that doesn't exist, guys. If you've seen that, it doesn't exist. There's no, like, water, like, pure water fluid under your skin. Okay, so that there's not a film under your skin. And when I see... Mm-hmm. When I hear people say, hey, oh, I was just holding water.
That's quite the excuse.
Yeah, I look at them and I'm like, no, like, let's be honest with each other. You were just not in shape. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just call that what it is. You weren't in shape yet. If you're saying, like, 90% of the time, if you're saying you're holding water or you did something crazy with your sodium, which you shouldn't have done, it made mm-hmm. you actually retain water. But you shouldn't be retaining water if you're eating sodium, okay? And I'll go into that in a second. But the whole cutting water thing, There's different types of, like, fluids that your body holds. So there's this thing called interstitial fluid, which is basically water between cells. And that's a very, very small amount of fluid in your body. And that's the only one that would, in theory, make you tighter. But it's such a small amount comparatively mm-hmm. to, like, all the muscle you have in your muscles, or all the water you have in your muscles, that it wouldn't be worth the exchange. So when you guys are, now, if you want to take something like Expel or whatever, and it helps you, you know, just kind of getting water out of your system, makes your stomach flat or whatever, that's one thing. But when people are taking, like, real diuretics and trying to cutting water at the same time, you got to understand, you cannot change water, where it comes from. You can't pick where it comes from. Like if we could pick to get rid of like just interstitial fluids and get rid of that like intracellular water, then like great, you know, that then yeah, do it. But if but we can't control that. You can't control the water that's inside muscle cells, right? So if you're losing, if you're trying to lose lose water and you're cutting water, for the small amount of water that would help, you're going to lose all the water that is making your muscles fuller too. You can't get rid of just the water that's making you a little bit softer.
So you could flatten out like a noodle.
Oh, that's how.
Water.
Like most people who are flat is because their water wasn't.
What are we, 70% water or something
like
that?
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense. You know, wait, you know, your muscles need some of that water too.
Yeah, it's, you know, muscles are mostly water. So like you cutting water, you're cutting muscles. That's just what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to have less muscles on stage if you have less water on stage, at least the appearance of less muscle.
And you'll have crusty lips.
And crusty lips. That's
no one wants the crusty lips.
Not in them pictures. It's not going to help my IG likes, bro.
Exactly.
I'm trying to be an Instagram model. So yeah, big news. Ashley finally convinced me to have my own Instagram.
Yes.
So my bio says aspiring Instagram model.
Yes. He did his first story post today and everything.
So
give that page a like. It's just
Coach Adam Pania. Yeah.
Okay.
It's gonna
Coach Adam Pania. Go follow him.
That's I guess it's gonna be like personal stuff only. Like
Coach Adam B O N I L L A.
She's so crazy. So now let's go into the sodium salt.
Why are you salty, bro?
Why are you so salty?
Because I don't cut the salt, bro.
You don't cut the salt.
Yes, that's true. I don't cut the salt. But at the same time, I don't purposely like consume salt either, if that makes sense. So like Adam said, there is something called sodium loading where people purposely like consume salt.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like during peak week, I'm like, yeah, I'll have salt. I'll have hot sauce or whatever, you know, seasoning I want to use. But I'm not going to like drench my food in like a whole bunch of salt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just kind of keep it consistent to what I was, you know, doing previously. Cause like you mentioned, if your body's used to having salt, there shouldn't be a problem when you continue to have salt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. So your body regulates itself to whatever your normal is. So when you have a normal amount of salt, you know, your body's not going to hold water when you have your normal amount of salt. I think we went into this before, but, it's just basically it's just, don't do anything extreme during peak week, what it really comes down to. Mm-hmm. That way you can have a predictable result. And, you know, the more that nutrition science evolves, the more we realize we've been overthinking these things for years, you know, and it needs to be more simplified. I just see it time and time again where a bodybuilder is just like trying to carb up like crazy or trying to manipulate sodium and then take diuretics at the same time. And then, you know, just doing all these crazy things. And it just doesn't need to be that way. Just be in shape and make sure you're full to some degree, but you don't need to be 100% full for most people. Usually when you're trying to be 100% full, you make yourself look softer because then you start spilling over and then you do start looking like you're holding water, but it's just because the carbs are outside the cells waiting to absorb still. And every carbohydrate is attached to, a carbohydrate is a hydrate, so every carbohydrate.
Hey!
Yeah.
I'm just now like making the connection.
Right?
Okay.
It's hydrate. Yeah, so
that makes sense.
I think if I'm just throwing these numbers off of memory, I think it's every gram of glucose that is trying to be stored as glycogen in the body is attached to 2 point something grams of water. It's 2 point something for sure.
Okay.
It's like 2.1 or 2.7. So yeah, if you have extra carbohydrates waiting to be absorbed outside the muscle cell, then yeah, you will look a little bit softer, and that's what spilling over actually is. But that's not retaining water. That's because you overloaded on the carbs. Now, you'll always look better if you're not trying to hit that 100% fullness. Like, it's so hard to hit 100%. Like, you should have enough muscle where 90% is enough, you know, and you still look great and you're not taking any risks. And there are some people in some cases where they have so much muscle, you don't need to fill them out 100% and they look great. Ashley is a perfect example of that. Mm-hmm.
You know, so crazy, you guys. If you guys saw me in person, I'm very small and I still think I'm very small, but against the top Olympia girls, I'm kind of like, I don't know, not that small.
You know what? It's funny as like...
I guess it's structurally. We're not talking about... I mean, structurally, it's like... I don't know, maybe I'm just built differently. I don't know how to explain it, but I do look better when I'm not 100% full, I think.
You know what's funny is that there was like a YouTube video I was watching. It was on you, and it talked a little bit about me too.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, it was.
People will be making videos on us. What?
It was like an assessment of I think it was last year's Olympia, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
And he was the guy or the girl who was talking. It was like, you know, she's training with Adam. He generally brings in a more muscular bikini competitor, and she kind of fits that criteria. And then I was like, Ashley is in the more muscular range. Like, and I was like, you know, and I was like looking at you next to people. I was like, you know, it's funny, is I just see you all the time, but you are kind of in the more, in the range of bikini.
I think it's mostly just the lower body portion of it. Like, I guess my hamstrings be popping too much, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sorry. No, but, you know, like we mentioned kind of in the genetic podcast we did last time, everyone's built differently. You know, people build muscle in different places differently and store fat in different areas. And just like for me, like I tend to get some crispy abs too, man.
Yeah.
I don't train them. Newsflash, guys, I haven't trained abs in like 2 years. What's up? Because they're made in the kitchen.
Yeah, they're made in the kitchen.
No, I mean, I've had abs a lot my entire life. And as long as I'm lean enough, they're going to be popping. So I never need to train those. But they can be a little too much sometimes. And
yeah.
I think sometimes, too, the legs in some areas, not my quad area, but maybe like glutes and hamstrings can get a little...
Overpowering.
That's a good word to use. Yeah. Overpowering. And then my lat attachment is kind of lower, which kind of makes my back look bigger.
Yeah.
No, it's really not. It's all an illusion, guys.
Yeah. It's so weird how people, like, how different people are put together and how they look a different way. So.
Mm-hmm. And same thing, too, is like some girls can carry more body fat and look great. But some, if they have a little body fat, like me, I feel like if I do have a little extra body fat than normal, I just look really thick.
Yeah.
So I can't be doing that.
That's hard, especially on the pro level. It's like, it's so different per girl. It's just so different, you know? So, so I guess with that, what else do you have advice-wise for peak weekers, people going into shows, and like, what to like think about from your perspective and what you've been through?
I say to think about is, don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Just kind of been doing what you know works. You know, I think sometimes too, when we're also focused on peak week and making sure we peak at the same time and having to do all these crazy things, you forget like, oh wait, there's way more important stuff too, such as like your posing and your hair and everything else that goes along with competing, all the fun of it too.
Yeah.
So just don't get like too overwhelmed in all the craziness, even though you hear your friend is doing peak week like this, and then you question your own peak week.
Yeah,
you know?
That's probably one of the worst things.
Yeah, because like you heard that, oh, this one girl, she cut her water for 2 days straight and blah, 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 and she won her last show. So, you know, I think that's why a lot of this stuff still happens.
That's, I think, one of the biggest problems is because someone, like, there's so many people out there that are like, doing crazy diets and and they're like, well, it worked for this girl. Well, but that girl looked like that when she was eating pizza and not on a diet too.
Yeah.
Like she looked a little better now, but it wasn't like dramatic, you know?
Right.
I mean? She's just great in genetics, right? And so we look at that and we're like, oh, that's what we should do. But the reality is for the masses, those things generally don't work, any extreme. So one of the things that I'll say with peak week is that one of the things that ruins girls' physiques the most is stress. And I've worked with athletes whereas like I've had unpredictable things happen because of their stress. And I'm like, I just wish you would just take it easy, but you can't tell someone, hey, relax, because it makes it more stressful, right? So it's like you just kind of have to let those people like have experience and get more calm with doing more shows.
Yeah.
And then they get better. But I've had bikini pros, I've had amateurs that just overthink this stuff so much. And they by the end, like every couple of days, they're like, oh, I'm softer today. And then they start thinking it and freaking out. And the next day they're softer. I'm like, well, you're stressing yourself out. Get some sleep, relax, try to enjoy it because all the work's been done. Peak week is not designed to make you dramatically differently, look differently. It's just not going to happen. Especially if you're like, you know, our listeners are mainly bikini competitors. And probably like one of my biggest pet peeves is when I have like a bikini competitor, like during peak week, like constantly messaging me. Like she's like, oh, I think I'm looking better today. I have this, I have that. And I'm like, hey, look, we're not doing that much for peak week. So you're not going to look that much different.
Right.
Or they're backstage and they're like, oh, I think I need like, should I have like one more rice cake and one more thing? I'm like,
I don't think
that's
gonna do anything.
No, it's not. Because you gotta understand, like, if you were a high level, like, and I'm talking the very, very highest level, like Olympia level bodybuilder, and you're showing like cross striations in your quads, and you're so lean that you can see those carbs make a big difference, that's when maybe 60 carbs will start having effect, you know, where it'll be like a little bit different.
Right.
But if you're a bikini competitor who can't be that hard and isn't cross striated and isn't that lean, Well, guess what? Like 30 carbs to between the difference between like 30 and 60 carbs backstage is probably not going to do anything at all visually. Like mentally it might. You might feel better. You might, you know, whatever. But it's not going to visually do anything at that amount. Because you should already be, unless you had like some crazy peak when you had no carbs until that moment.
Yeah.
Like it really shouldn't do much. And so don't think that you messed up by not having one rice cake and one tablespoon of honey backstage and you should have had one more. It would have made a big difference. The reality is you probably lost because you just weren't there yet. You know, maybe your muscles weren't there yet. Maybe your conditioning wasn't there yet, whatever. But the reality is it wasn't the like little bit of carbs that you could have had, you know?
So
I would say more often than not, the only time my peak weeks will get messed up now is pretty much like stress or trying something totally different, you know, like bringing someone in smaller or tighter or flatter, like taking risks. But more often than not, it's stress. I've had one girl who was a pro and it was the craziest thing. She lost 5 pounds the day before the show.
Ooh.
5 pounds. And she was flat and it was just like, she was just so stressed and overthinking things and couldn't sleep and was running around. And I was like, and I never knew that she responded like that. It was our first show together, you know, and she woke up and she was like, we just couldn't get enough food in her in time to like make the difference. But like the stress of it, I would say is probably the most important thing is just relaxing and enjoying it. You know, the work shouldn't been done. You should look good. You shouldn't be trying to do all these manipulations and just enjoying the process, you know?
Yes. And I think too, it's important to point out a few other things that are part of my peak week as well. And one of those is going to the sauna. So I'm going to hit the sauna a few times before I, you know, compete. Just if I have any extras, any waters laying around, I can get rid of it, some maybes. And another thing too, guys, is that I do use Senna, which is basically a natural laxative. So it's a stool softener. And it's very gentle, so it's not like an emergency if you have to go to the bathroom. It's not like, oh my God, I gotta find a bathroom right now. So I will take that like usually like a day, sometimes I'll start 2 days before and just kind of like, you know, take a few of the little tablets and I have regular movements and things are going, which is nice because we gotta keep that waistline very small. And sometimes Epsom salt baths are nice too. I think more for relaxation as well. But that's like a little treat for myself, you know, before I get on, just to make sure everything's nice and calm and relaxed and I'm looking my best.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just you just, I think that's more just anything, just recovering and feeling good and looking your best on stage. And that's what like the bikini division especially is about. And that's kind of how the judges tell the coaches, like how to help bikini competitors get in shape. It's like, a bikini competitor should look like she just wakes up and looks like that every day, even though none of them do, right? But she should look healthy on stage and just recovered and like she didn't have a hard prep and she's not gaunt in the face and she should just look like that's how she walks around every day. And that's kind of how it was described to me, you know, because it is a fitness model competition.
Yeah.
So that's being recovered, rested is a big part of it too.
Yes,
so,
agreed.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty much it.
Yeah, guys. Oh my goodness. If you guys are going to Olympia, make sure you find us and say hi because we'll be around. I'll be at the high tech booth from 12 to 3. I'll be at the Meet the Athletes, I'll be at the press conference, and Adam's gonna be with me the whole time.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna go cruise with you the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah. So thanks guys so much for listening. Don't be shy when you see us. Root for Ashley.
Don't be shy.
You know, we're excited about it, you know.
Super
excited about this Olympia, and I think it's cool because she's so experienced that we kind of go in just having fun, you know. And I think that's gonna probably help your peak week, you know, because it's just like whatever
less
happens,
pressure
happens.
Definitely less pressure than last year.
Yeah,
she was a little
cool. So anyway, guys, thanks so much.
Thank
again
you for
always,
listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Shoot us your ideas through DM Ashley K Fit on Instagram or Team Elite Physique on Instagram, and we'll talk to you next time.
Until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.